This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood, where you can get a 2020 Corolla LE, lease it for $159 a month, sign and drive $289 a month, get on down to 1841 North State Road 7 in Hollywood, Toyota of Hollywood.
We are back. We're going to get in contact with Manny Navarro. And we appreciate all of you there hanging in there with us. As always, we'll have a little fun with Manny here. If you want to get in, remember you can chime in there on our chat board on YouTube. Don't forget to grab that link and share it to folks. Share it with folks on the texts, on Facebook, on Twitter, Reddit, all that good stuff. Appreciate it as always. We are having some fun. I'm actually going back and forth with a bunch of people there on the phones. T-Bone says, hey, Big O, Bungles released Kirkpatrick today. Can you know, do you know, see the fish trading X-Man draft day? I don't. They would take a big cap hit. I don't think that they're going to do it. If they move X, it'll be next year that he plays a whole year and he plays well. He's injury free. And then they can get value for him. If you try to trade him now, he's coming off an injury. He's coming off a domestic issue. There's the value is not the same now. So it doesn't make any sense to trade him now. You got to hang on to him for at least another year. Hopefully he straightens out everything and you just keep him for the rest of the go. That would be nice. But I think at best case scenario, if you trade him, it would be next season. Okay? So that's the way I would look at it. Let's see. We are going to talk to Manny Navarro now. Our Canes wear Miami Hurricanes report. Not that there's a lot going on with the Canes. But, of course, you can follow my man Manny Navarro on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. Catch his work there at The Athletic. And, of course, go to caneswear.com. Go to the website because right now you can't go to the store. They're closed. But go to caneswear.com and you can order anything Canes related, Inter Miami, Miami Hurricanes, Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Florida Panthers, Miami Marlins. It's all there. All right, let's bring Manny aboard. Mr. Navarro, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Just came back from picking up some groceries at Publix. I did that Instacart thing.
Okay.
And worked out great, man. That's how we're doing our shopping now.
What is Instacart? They just bring it out to your car?
Basically, yeah. You give them the grocery list, they pack everything up in a bag, and they bring it to you and put it in the car.
All right.
And you put a bunch of hand sanitizer on and all that, gloves, and you bring it in the house.
All right. So you got gloves on, huh?
I had them on before, yeah. And then took them off and then you gotta throw them away. It's the way this thing works, man. I mean, I don't know. It's a scary time, man. It is. It's like I haven't really gone out of the house that often. So this is the last 3 weeks where I've gone out and basically a grocery run or to walk the dog. That's it. Those are the only times I'm out.
Yeah. Yesterday, I only went out one time to get some food, and I came right back, and that's it. That's all I did, man. I went and got Flanagan's. I went to Flanagan's and I didn't even get off the car either. I drove right up. It's one on 127th and Kendall Drive. That one, drive up, you sign the receipt, and then you're done. That's it. They hand you your food, and you don't even get off or anything at this point.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly we've all sort of just adapted to this life. But there's so much I miss just being. I actually miss being in traffic, man. Like I could listen to radio, listen to podcasts. In the house here, I'm either in the office working or when I'm downstairs, the kids have control of the TV and the entertainment and whatever it is that they're doing in the house with their tablets, and they want all the attention. So I missed that a long time when they were at school, when the wife was at work, when I could ride around, listen to your show and call in and all that. I miss it a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. We're going to miss our regular life for a little while here. And hopefully we'll get it back. Just a little college news because there's really nothing with the Canes. But it was I thought it was at least smart for the NCAA to give the spring athletes a year of eligibility. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I thought it was a no-brainer. You know, these kids, obviously, to have something like this taken away, you know, we always forget the number of athletes that get scholarships or even partial scholarships, like in baseball, for instance, and how this is their entire world, because they're not going to play in the pros. A lot of them aren't even going to get to the minor leagues. And to get the opportunity to get that extra year back in light of everything that's happened is really important. I know it sucks. There's some high school seniors and so forth that are missing out on their senior events, but for the college kids, this was a smart decision, and I'm glad to see that a couple of these kids are going to decide to come back and you know, take that extra year of eligibility. I'm interested to see how the scholarship situation works out and how all those things are affected, but essentially, you know, the opportunity is there to come back, and it was a smart decision by the NCAA.
Yeah, no, it was the right thing to do. What your thoughts? Did you hear Kirk Herbstreit's comments?
We're not going to have football.
Yeah, are you willing to go that far?
You know, obviously we don't know the science of all this, but you know, I'm sitting here thinking about the way the world is, the situation that we're in. You know, I don't know. There was an article written by the Associated Press about that soccer game that was played 2 days before they shut Italy down up there in the northern part of Italy that has all those people dying. And I think there were 44,000, 45,000 people in attendance to that soccer game. And they were able to trace back over 1,000 people who picked up the coronavirus just from being at that game. And so to me, you know, to have large gatherings with fans, I think we're a long ways away from that. I mean, I don't know if I would say we're going to completely wipe out football. It's several months away. I mean, August is, tomorrow's April 1st. So, you know, another four or five months before football season really gets cranked up and going. But to me, the fact that this thing was able to spread so easily, I think without a cure, without, you know, something that you can inject in your system to protect yourself against this thing, I don't see how we're going to have large gatherings, man. And I don't know if they can create something that quickly in 4 to 5 months. I keep hearing people say, you know, they've got all these things that are in the works. The doctors are trying different medicines and so forth. You have to think to mass produce that and to be able to say, hey, you can go to a sporting event and cheer and scream and be next to somebody who has it and not get sick. I think until we get to that point, man, it's going to be hard to have sports with fans in it. The thing I could definitely see happening, though, is, you know, the empty stadiums. I don't know if they would do that for football, but I certainly think they could do that in the NBA. They could do that in hockey. They could do it in those type of situations, because the only people in there are the athletes and the referees, and you would have to obviously test people and constantly be on top of it. But I think big sporting events like football, where you're going to have tailgating and all kinds of stuff like that, I think we're a ways away from that, man.
Well, I don't. Did you see what the premiership's going to do? Because I've been talking about this on my show for the last week. Because when the idiots in the NBA wanted to do without fans and just play, I said, you can't do that. And I said it then that you would have to actually keep everybody in a plastic bubble, basically, and away from everybody. You would have to have all the players, coaches, trainers, and broadcasters and the camera people and all that. They all have to be in a group together, all traveling together, all away from everybody. They can't associate with their family members, their friends. They can't go out to clubs. They can't go see their IG models. None of that crap has to. I mean, you would literally, it would become Big Brother / NBA, Big Brother / college football, Big Brother whatever. And that's exactly what the English Premiership is thinking of doing, that they put everybody in one area with a bunch of pitches. And they all live together, eat together, sleep together, play against each other, and finish out the final 2 months of the season. How do we pull that off in American sports?
It's not going to be easy, though. And that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, we have to get to the point with science and doctors and medicine that we can honestly prevent this from being spread. Because obviously, I know it affects people differently, and there's a technically, the percentage of people dying globally who have it, it's still a very low number. But still, it's the interaction with the regular people. Because obviously, the athletes are in tip-top shape, right? I mean, they're going to be able to survive getting this, but it's the grandfathers and the older people and the people with health issues that just cannot be exposed to this at all. So I could see it happening. Why not do it with the NCAA tournament, right? Pick the 65 team field, and 2 weeks, you know, you get the thing done. You play it over several nights, and you keep these athletes in a confined space for 2 weeks, and you get the thing over with. You could do it that way if it's just the teams, the 64, 65 teams in a small, very protected area. But again, it's going to the extremes to get this done. And the NBA athletes, are they going to be willing to do that? Would they spend a month or a month and a half to get, you know, everything done so they could play all the playoff games and finish the regular season or whatever it is that they decide to do? I don't know. I think if it was just a tournament, you could probably do it. But an entire season, that's out of the question. Like I said, the NCAA tournament, you could do it. Because how many games is that? 64 games or whatever it is total? I think you could do it. But beyond that, it's a full season. That those type of things just aren't going to happen.
How could you do football? I mean, football with that many players?
No, you couldn't do. That's what I'm saying. I think to me, it has to be sports where it's only right. Small amounts. You know, smaller teams, 15 players, an NBA team, right? 15 players and the coaching staff. That's what, 20 people. You could figure that out. You could do something like that. But to do, you know, 85, 90 players, if we really want this to happen, I think the NBA does. I think the NBA would be the first one to come back and do it. But Major League Baseball, I mean, they're not going to play 162 games like that. There's no way.
Yeah.
To me, everything would have to be sort of a tournament-style setting and where it doesn't take more than 2 or 3 weeks to complete.
What's the cutoff date for college football? When do they need to get – have you talked to any coaches? Like, okay, we got to get our players in by this time or we can't really start this on time.
Yeah, I think you know, just from having conversations with folks back channels and so forth, I think a lot of them feel like if August 1st this thing isn't ready to go, then you're really hurting the preparation. These guys need a month to get their bodies physically ready, especially since they haven't been in gyms. A lot of these guys are doing workouts at home to keep themselves in shape. But you and I know, that doesn't compare to being in the gym and having a trainer and being able to go as intensely as you need to go. So I think if we get to August 1st and this thing is still looking like it's not going to happen, I think that's probably the cutoff date in my mind. I would say maybe even July 1st if they start to feel like, hey, there's just no way we're going to be ready by August 1st. They decide, you know, either trim the season back and say, hey, we're not going to play games in September. We'll start in October and maybe just play conference games, things of that nature. I think maybe then. But even still, football is a sport. I mean, look, man, I think we could all watch basketball without fans in a small arena if it's a tournament-style type setting. But a football season, you know, home field advantage, all of those factors that go into this, it seems weird. Life has to be normal. To play a football game. There's no way you could do football in this sort of environment that we have right now.
Yeah, and look, we have to be careful. Look at the Chinese Basketball Association. They came back too early. They started re-spreading again the virus, and now they now they have canceled it indefinitely because they just don't know when they get. And that's the other thing, that when we do get back, we got to make sure that we're back where we can get back to normalcy. Because if we don't, then we're going to create an even bigger problem setting ourselves back.
I fully agree with you, man. I mean, again, I don't think this gets resolved, man, until there's a vaccine of some sort for people to take. It's just not going to happen. Because even if the numbers and the curves start to go back down and normalize and you know, the deaths start to drop, you can't just open. I mean, think of how we interact with each other. I mean, going to the airport. Are we going to keep the airport shut all this time? Are people not going to go back on cruise ships? I mean, life as we know it is not going to change until there's vaccines and ways to protect yourself against it. So I just don't see how there's any sort of normalcy until that.
I'm with you there. Just out of curiosity, my brother, I know it's an interesting challenge for me to do, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours of sports talk when there isn't a lot of sports going on. How about for you? How's this challenge now having to write?
It's interesting. You know, I think The Athletic, we've been trying to do a lot of sort of lists and you know, looking at sports from a different angle. Obviously, you know, we could sit here and talk about the season and focus on the roster and, you know, when football resumes, what are the Hurricanes going to look like? But we're so far away from it that we're doing sort of more of a broader approach of journalism of, hey, we've got plenty of history to write about, you know, interesting stories, interesting moments. And so I've kind of put my energy into going on YouTube and finding these football games from the Hurricanes past. So I've done these big, long takeout articles reviewing the greatest games of the Snellenberger era, the greatest games of the Jimmy Johnson era. And you know, we just did a South Florida Hall of Fame, Athletic Hall of Fame for the Athletic, the first chapter of the inaugural 25 selections. Andre Fernandez and I are working on, it's kind of a fun story that, you know, the greatest jersey numbers in South Florida history, you know, which player is the best number one in all of our teams down here in South Florida, which player is the best number two, all the way up to 99. So we're doing these sort of like fun, interesting projects that hopefully take people's minds off of coronavirus, because we could sit here and write about when coronavirus ends, how life is going to be. But I think more than anything, we're trying to be a source of entertainment, a place where people can go and read stuff and have debate and have sort of fun discussions, versus keeping the concentration on everything we're seeing in the news and all the, you know, ugly numbers and statistics that are out there. If we can be a distraction, then we're doing our job.
That's you've done a really good job with that. And that's and in a way, so give me a fun fact that you didn't realize that you discovered throughout this process.
Well, just going and doing those stories specifically about the Snellenberger era and the JJ era, which is, you know, late 79 all the way to about 88 when JJ was there, that 10-year span. With Snellenberger, for instance, I mean, just seeing some of the game footage. For instance, the FAMU Miami game when Miami was upset in 79 by Florida A&M. You know, who would imagine that happening in today's world, right? A team like FAMU with Bill Cookman beating Miami, but it actually happened back in 79. This is the first time I had ever seen footage of it. I had always heard about this game that took place, you know, 40 years ago and the big upset, but I had never seen any of the footage. It was cool to find some of that stuff, to find some of the footage of Miami's upset of Penn State in 81 at home in the Orange Bowl. I didn't even realize that Miami had beaten a number one ranked team at Penn State in 81. I had always heard about the Jim Kelly game in 79. When they went up there and beat Penn State, but I didn't even know that in 81 they had beaten those guys. I wasn't alive. I mean, I was alive, but I was 2 years old when that happened, 3 years old. But I didn't know any of that stuff had happened. So it was cool just doing that kind of research. You know, Jimmy Johnson, his first salary at the University of Miami, he left Oklahoma State making $80,000. He got hired at Miami making $160,000 a year when the Hurricanes hired him. I mean, there's little factoids. You know, nerdy type stuff. If you're a hardcore Hurricanes fan, things that'll open your eyes. You'll be like, "Wow, I didn't know that." Or maybe it'll remind you of something that you knew years ago that when it happened. You know, the whole Tom Oliver Dottie thing was amazing. I didn't even realize how, you know, before Jimmy Johnson got hired, what a push Miami fans were making for them to hire Oliver Dottie as Snellenberger's replacement. I didn't realize it was that big of a deal, but it was a big push. And hiring Jimmy, everybody was sort of upset with Sam Jankovic at the time when he decided to do that. And, you know, look what ended up happening. Yeah. You know, Jimmy took the program to another level. So there's a lot of fun little stuff that you can find. And I've got a membership to newspapers.com, which is $65, I think, every 6 months or a year. Whatever it is, but it's worth it because you can actually search all the newspaper archives that are available on there. And so I'm digging through these old newspaper articles and reading stuff. And again, if you want to geek out, if you got all this time on your hands, you can certainly read what I've been writing at The Athletic, what Andre Fernandez and others have been doing, because we've been sort of taking a deep dive into history, you know, and finding cool stuff for you to read and to watch online.
That is that's really cool, man, that you guys have been able to do that. It's an interesting way. The one good thing for all of us now, at later on this month, we've got UFC's trying to get their UFC 49 on the 18th. Interesting, mm-hmm. because ESPN and UFC are in bed together. So now the Jordan thing will be on the 19th, and that'll mm-hmm. run for a few days. And then we've got the NFL draft. So the second half of April, we're going to have something to at least watch. So that's something to look forward to.
Absolutely. And there's plenty on Netflix. I mean, did you see the Tiger King series?
Yes.
I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I just finished it last night. That is that is one dysfunctional freaking group of people, bro. Wow. Holy crap.
I also came across something that blew my mind. And again, if you're bored and you're looking for stuff on YouTube, there's a lot of content on there. But there's this footage of people living in the jungle, building houses out of literally trees, bamboo, and at first I was like, there's no way I'm going to watch this. And I put it on for a couple of minutes. I was like, all right, I got to see how this dude is going to build like an entire house. And it's I'm telling you, I know sports is, we got nothing going on right now with sports. If you've got time, look up Jungle Survival on YouTube. And click, and you're going to be blown away how these guys are building pools in the middle of the jungle, like actual pools, how they're building these houses that are multiple floors. And it's just, you're just like, wow. It's like, how do you know, human beings create these kind of things? It just kind of, it captures your attention, man. There's a lot to do out there on the internet, man.
So what's it called? Jungle Survivors?
Jungle Survival.
Survival.
Yeah, literally, you've got people who live in the jungle. I don't know who decided to do this thing where you go out there with a camera and record this, but essentially it's sort of like sped up video. So it shows them digging into the ground, creating these gigantic holes, and sort of building these underground houses, and then using bamboo and wood out in the jungle along with vines as rope. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that they build. Look it up on YouTube, Jungle Survival, and they've got a bunch of videos of amazing things. They're like 15, 20, 30 minutes long, but they show you the construction of how they build these houses in the middle of the jungle out of natural resources. It's pretty amazing.
That's awesome, man. Yep. I've been doing a lot of concerts and music and stuff like that, so I've been able to entertain myself. Since I can't go to real concerts,
you play the old ones.
That's kind of, although... You know, some artists are being real cool. They're at home and they're like turning on their social media and they're playing live concerts for us and they're playing a couple songs and stuff. So that's been really cool too, man. I mean, Metallica does, well, they're replaying concerts, but some other bands are actually doing live stuff. So that's pretty cool too. Like Elton John had his over the weekend. That was actually really nice.
No, that's neat. Yeah, I've seen some of the online stuff that they've been doing, and I've been watching some of the late-night TV hosts, Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, doing stuff from home, some of their shows. It's been nice to see that the entertainment world has continued to try to produce stuff to keep us entertained throughout this time.
Yeah, that's why the UFC and the NFL are so dead set on trying to get their sports on whatever they can, because they know that they're going to have ratings like they've never had in their entire lives, because everybody's home, dude. So even people that aren't that interested, I mean, the draft ratings this year are going to be, I mean, incredible, bro. Incredible.
Yep.
Everybody's home.
It's amazing in this country how much entertainment we had, you know, with sports and everything else. It kind of took it for granted, but we would fill up our days with sports and sports conversation. And, you know, it's amazing what's happened when we've hit the pause button. It's to see what else is out there, to see how people are trying to pass the time. It's nice to see, though, that people have a good attitude about it, you know, and I think that's one thing throughout this horrible process of waiting for this coronavirus and the poor people struggling to deal with it. is just seeing how some people are just really good at heart. Some of the nice shows of kindness that you've seen out there, you know, the videos of people cheering on the hospital workers and everything else. It's been nice to see some of that as well.
I agree. Follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Catch his work there at The Athletic. And, of course, you can catch him here with the Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes Report. Manny, as always, you are a stud, my brother. Thank you for taking some time, and stay safe. Stay corona-free, man.
Same to you, my friend. Love you, man. Talk to you later.
Un abrazo. There you go. Much love, as always, from my man Manny Navarro. Good stuff, as always. Appreciate him. You know, thinking about that, this is a time where we all got to find a way to help each other kind of, support each other, right? Because we're going to go through a brutal, brutal time. And one XFL player actually made a huge donation, donating half of his salary. Well, huge for him in a way because it's half his salary. I mean, half of your salary, whatever it is huge. Whatever. It's half your salary you're giving away. You can use it for bills and other things. Brian Peters, who played in the XFL and played for the Roughnecks before the season ended because of the COVID-19 pandemic, is donating half of each of his paychecks to assist in the fight against the pandemic. It's very simple logic, Peters told Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle. I'm incredibly grateful for the XFL and the Roughnecks to give me the opportunity to honor my contracts. I've been in the league. I've been in a league before UFL, before that didn't honor their contracts. This goes back to my value system and supporting people and their health. Everyone needs help. The XFL made the honorable choice to support us, and I want to do the same and pay it forward. Remember, the XFL, okay? They, while their season got canceled after half the year, Vince McMahon guaranteed everybody's salary for the remainder of the year. So all those players got paid for the other five games. They didn't have to do that. That's pretty cool. All right. And so then he said, you know, I want to bounce around to help the food banks, in particular for kids missing meals in the Houston community and Columbus, Peters told Wilson. There are people struggling with repercussions of the disease itself and financially. Through a bunch of grace and people, we can all help. The tribe hasn't had to face an opponent like the virus. That's right. So, and we're all facing it. And we've got to take this challenge on, and we got to beat this challenge. But we're not going to beat it without, you know, the help and without the love for humanity. And that is pretty cool on his part. This is not a guy that is making, you know, millions of dollars. He did play in the NFL a little bit, but again, he was a fringe guy. So this is not a guy that's comfortable by any stretch. And you know what? I don't care if he is or he isn't. That to me doesn't matter. It's the act of kindness that this guy is doing that I think is really, really cool. So kudos to that man. That's Mr. Peters. You, sir, are a absolute class act in helping out people that need a lot of help out there. I mean, we're all struggling one way or another. All right. 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105 if you want to get in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line. So let me ask you something. What extremes would you go to kill your girlfriend? It would take a lot, right? To have to kill your girlfriend. She would have to be like coming at you with a gun or something, or
I would say that it would be defense,
right?
I mean, that would be the only reason to do that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a normal person.
Well, what about if you get out of jail and your girlfriend's, you know, you allowed her to stay at your house. You gave her some money to pay the bills. But then you get there to your house after you were freed and your girlfriend was banging her boyfriend. What would you do then? Is the question. Well, deputies quickly learned that the suspect, Kenyatta Bellamy, had bonded out of the Osceola County Jail on March 24th of 2020. After bonding out of jail, Bellamy returned to his home, where he allowed his girlfriend to live while he was in jail. He discovered another man living in the residence. He called his mother, who lives in Miami, and expressed his desire to take a bus to Miami to see her. His anger increased when he learned that, due to the COVID-19 virus, he would not be able to take a bus. Upon Bellamy's arrest, he told detectives that he allowed the female victim to stay in the house while he was in jail and left her money for which to pay the bills. Unbeknownst to him, she allowed the male victim to move in. He said on Friday he was outside pressure washing and went inside and discovered them having sex. So he lost it. He used a hammer and a knife to kill the victims. They both have trauma consistent with those injuries. It's kind of quiet. I know there's only two of us in the studio, but still kind of quiet. I'm wondering back there while you're watching on the camera and you're there on the chat board, what's your reaction to that?
Okay, you know what my reaction to that is? You know, there's that story of five people sit down at the table and they tell their story and like everybody, I got the biggest problem. And you end up finding out about that and it's like, I'll take my problem. Thank you. And COVID-19, all this going on, and here's this guy that has a way bigger problem than just COVID-19.
Fresh out of jail, back into jail.
Wow.
Now that house, you'll sell it now to defend yourself.
God, man.
Oh, man.
Life could have some really sick twists and turns, bro.
Yep. So there you go. So that's another reason to kill your girlfriend, right?
We all have to get ready for a guest.
Yes, Mike Kliss is going to join us from 9 News. Let's take a quick break. We'll talk about that running back situation. We'll talk about the quarterback situation. We'll ask Mike Kliss, will there be football this year? Will there be NFL? What are his thoughts on that? We'll do that next.
Plus tax, tag, title. It includes $8.99 dealer fee on approved credit. Offers end 11-10-19.
Over 1,500 Toyotas are on the ground. And truckloads of new 2020 Toyotas just keep on coming. To eliminate all 2019 models, Toyota of Hollywood is holding the ultimate 2019 model year changeover event. Make us an offer. Any offer. And you can buy a Toyota at up to 50% less than their original MSRP when new and used.
50% less.
Upfront 2019 RAV4, not 30,000, 19,775. Upfront 2019 Camry LE, not 26,000, 17,775. Upfront 2019 Corolla LE, not 22,000, 12,775. Pay up to 50% less at Toyota of Hollywood, the number one volume Toyota dealer. Based on total retail sales of new Toyotas in the Southeast region for 2014 to 2018 per SET on 441 between Hollywood Boulevard and Sheridan Street. Open till midnight.
This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show!